Welcome to The Investment Lawyer Speaks, a podcast by the Szymanski Law Firm, founded by Jake Szymanski, one of the top security lawyers in the country. Listen along as we shed light on investment scams, negligence, and share how you can recover your investment losses.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the next episode of The Investment Fraud Lawyer Speaks, a podcast produced by the Szymanski Law Firm. I'm Nancy Rapp from Paper Street, and I'm speaking with the founder of the firm, Jake Szymanski. Jake is one of the preeminent lawyers in the country for securities fraud matters and FINRA arbitration. The law firm represents individuals and institutional clients in cases against Wall Street firms for investment fraud losses. Today, we'll discuss an investment fraud topic that even non-investors are familiar with, insider trading. Whether it's an event in the news or referenced in popular culture, Americans are largely familiar with the concept of insider trading. That said, media representations aren't always informative, nor are movie or TV references accurate. Jake will provide us with some true insight needed to understand what insider trading is from a legal perspective, both on the securities side of things and the criminal law side of things. Thank you for joining us today, Jake.
My pleasure.
Jake, insider trading is an example of stockbroker fraud. We actually discussed stockbroker fraud in your last show. But for listeners that may not have heard it, could we discuss what these class of securities fraud claims entail?
Sure. Securities fraud claims means making a misrepresentation of a material fact about a stock to an investor. And that happens quite often. Either a company will say something false or a stockbroker will say something false to get someone to buy a stock. And we can then talk about insider trading and explain what that is.
Great. Okay. So let's talk about what actions by that stockbroker would consider insider trading, and how does this situation arise?
Okay. Trading a stock by individuals with access to material non-public information about a company is insider trading. What's happening is you're taking advantage of privileged access, which is a breach of an individual's fiduciary duty. I'll give you an example. Where a CEO of a company learns of upcoming positive earnings release, or let's say a pending merger, and he buys the stock on that non-public information. The stock pops and the CEO makes a big profit. That's insider trading. It's unfair to others who do not have access to the same information.
Now, who typically is an insider? Because I've heard that it could be different categories of people. How does this usually work for who would be considered an insider?
Right. Insiders can be corporate officers, employees of a company, or what they call tippers, people that give a tip to someone about a stock, or tippies, people that receive a stock tip. The key here is that it's inside information and it's not public. There's civil and criminal penalties if you're caught doing this. It's a very serious thing. It can ruin your reputation as well. Give you an example. The famous case of Martha Stewart. I was attending in the courthouse doing commentary for the news services at the time. Martha Stewart, her broker called her to tell her that a stock called ImClone was going to start trading down. The insider at the company was a doctor named Sam Waxel. Waxel also traded, and he let other people know. So when Martha Stewart found out the information from her stockbroker, she immediately sold that the FDA was going to reject approval of a cancer drug. And as soon as that happened, the rejection, the stock went down. Martha avoided substantial losses, as did Waxel and a number of other people. They all sold stock within minutes of hearing the news and avoided huge losses. Waxel was convicted of insider trading. He went to jail for 7 years. Martha Stewart also was convicted. She went to jail for 6 months. Someone as famous as that could be involved in insider trading and suffer penalties. It's a real warning shot to everybody else.
Why do you think insider trading has some of the more harsher jail time and other penalties than other acts of security fraud?
Well, what happens is the Department of Justice and then the SEC on the civil side are trying to send a message. They can't go after everybody, but when they bring a high profile case against someone, it sends a message of deterrence out to the public, the investing public. If you hear something that's inside information coming from someone that's on the inside of a company, you have a duty to refrain from trading. You're not supposed to trade. Because you know that's not your information. It's kind of stealing information from a company. It's really something that you should refrain from doing. Now, I'll give you another important case that shows what insider trading is all about. Gentleman named Rajit Gupta was a prominent corporate executive on the board of Goldman Sachs during the 2008 financial crisis. All the banks were getting hit hard, and stock was falling across the board. Gupta learned that Warren Buffett was going to invest $5 billion to help Goldman Sachs survive. He called a guy named Raj at a hedge fund, and within 16 seconds of hearing the news, they bought 175,000 shares of Goldman Sachs. After the news went public, Goldman stock surged, and Gupta and Raj made millions. This is one of the most high-profile cases. Big hedge fund manager, board of directors of Goldman Sachs. The feds caught both of them. They were convicted, and they both went to prison. Their careers in finance were ruined as a result of just one big trade. So it's something that people need to be aware of. Gupta was the tipper here. Raj was the tippy. They both went down.
Now, in these cases, it's a little more obvious when you have a victim for a securities fraud transaction, if they received bad advice or, you know, if their money was mismanaged or managed without their permission. What makes someone a victim of insider trading?
Well, insider trading, some people say it's somewhat of a victimless crime. It's not like you're taking money out of one person's pocket. But what it really does is it undermines the integrity of the public markets. People have to have confidence that there's a level playing field when they go to buy or sell a stock, that the game is not rigged in favor of insiders. So the victim is really the public at large. Every time there's a story on insider trading, a lot of people feel, wow, I don't really have a chance. I'm not on the inside. This is rigged against me. So that's really the big problem is public confidence in the integrity of securities markets.
So really it's a goal to keep people investing largely because if the people feel like they're outsiders, they're not investing. So the U.S. government probably feels as a whole that it's better to get people to invest. Is that correct?
Yeah, we want people to believe in the markets, you know, to invest. And this undermines that tremendously. Let me just go over what the key is to seeing whether something is insider trading. First of all, we've talked about an insider, someone who's inside the company or has access to the information. The information has to be non-public. It could be an earnings report, news about a merger, or other important financial events. That's private company information, which is very valuable. Let's say Apple's going to report, you know, strong earnings. If you know about that in advance, you can trade. An example of non-public information. Materiality is another issue. Is it important news? Is it information that's expected to move the markets? So those are the three keys: insider status, non-public information that's material.
That's a good point, because not all insider trading is considered illegal. In fact, there are some cases where it's not considered illegal. So what would really break down the difference of something, if it was an illegal act of insider trading or something that was permissible in court?
All right. The key is, how did you find out the information? And did you know it came from an insider source? There's some famous stories about people overhearing some news at a cocktail party. You're at a cocktail party, you hear two people talking about stock, and somebody goes out and trades the stock. If you don't know who those people are and you trade it, maybe you just thought they were interesting people, that they had some, you know, interesting idea about what was going to happen in the market. Well, that wouldn't be illegal. If you knew that somebody was an insider, president of a company, or some big executive, then you know, you shouldn't trade because you know that it's material, non-public information, even if it inadvertently got in your hands. So a lot of it is, do you know who the people are that are talking about it, and how did you get the information? So it's not likely that that you'll have a problem if that's the case. There's also the issue of people doing superior research. One of the also prominent cases involves a company called SAC Capital, Steve Cohen, large hedge fund. They would have outside research firms looking at stocks, you know, regularly. Let's say it's a pharmaceutical company. They'd have an outside research firm with doctors and medical people, you know, looking at the FDA docket, seeing what's going on, doing research. If you do research, you know, through an outside firm, if it's an internet stock and you have people doing research, there's nothing wrong with that. However, this company had been accused, SAC Capital, of trying to get what they call a black edge, trying to get those research people to get inside information, calling the company, trying to figure things out. So there's a gray area when you're doing, you know, careful research, due diligence versus trying to get inside information. You're allowed to, you know, be crafty and follow companies and have outside research firms. You're not allowed to try and steal inside information.
It's interesting because, you know, this has more criminal penalties than some of the other things we've talked about. What if you're at said cocktail party and you hear the people talking and you think other people might be trying to plan some insider trading actions? Are you under any sort of duty to report this, or are professionals required to report it? You know, how does that work?
Well, there's no duty to report it. The duty is to refrain from trading. If you know or believe that you've gotten access to inside information, you're not supposed to trade. You got to refrain from trading. So that's the standard. There's no duty to report. And rarely does that happen. What the SEC does is, after there's been an earning announcement, a lot of times they'll go back and they'll look at the trades, what kind of trades were done, how soon after the inside information was there. So they can easily piece it together by subpoenaing brokerage firms, you know, Morgan Stanley, UBS. If you put your trades to a firm, they can get access to that information. So, you know, there's always a paper trail, which is another reason people should be really careful in doing this.
Now, Jake, what are some of the cases? I know we've talked about a few of the famous cases. What are some insider trading cases that you've worked on directly that may have been unusual or just interesting to our listeners?
Well, we've worked on cases involving stocks where, you know, the stock has fallen and there's allegations that companies have, executives have traded on inside information. A lot of these cases are confidential, but we see it, you know, frequently. Insider sales are reported like 2 weeks after they're made. So a lot of times, you know, you can take a look at it and see, wow, the timing here is pretty suspect. The insider sold, you know, a day before some announcement was made. So you can go back and look at insider sales. We're also looking at some of these bank stocks, banks that have gotten hit. For example, Securities Exchange Commission, the SEC, is looking at First Republic Bank, whether insiders there traded, either they knew that a bank run was coming and they bailed out before the bank run, or in this case, they were acquired by JP Morgan. Insiders would have known about that, and something like that would have had a, you know, significant effect on the price of the stock. Other banks that have collapsed recently, there are allegations that insiders, you know, sold stock before the banks collapsed. So there's another example, something that's taking place, you know, as we speak. So again, people can do their research. They can follow the stocks. They can contact investor relations, who gives out public information. But you got to be careful if you're trading on non-public information.
Now, let's say someone suspects that insider trading did occur. Is that when they contact a securities fraud lawyer? At what point do they reach out to you, and what are your role? What is your role specifically?
Well, a lot of times, you know, I'll get a call about something like that. You know, there are a lot of pump and dump schemes, and you know, sometimes we'll pass that information along to regulators. It's also important if you're bringing a case against a company to show that there was insider trading. So we get those calls when people have lost a lot of money, particularly on smaller companies, and they think that, you know, a pump and dump has occurred where they move the stock up, the insiders bail out, and then the investors are left holding the bag. So we see that somewhat frequently.
Just for our listeners, could you clarify what a pump and dump is in case they may have missed your other show?
Yeah. If a stock is it comes out as an initial public offering, an IPO at, say, $5 a share, and it goes up to $10 a share or $15 a share, the company is trying to move the stock up, either having you know, brokers around the country sell the stock. Maybe they'll give out, you know, some false positive information, knowing that eventually the news is going to come out that the company's got problems. So it's kind of market manipulation by insiders who move a stock up, you know, and then they profit because they sell their own shares, and everybody else, again, is on the outside and doesn't have that benefit. And a lot of times the public will lose money on these stocks.
Is there any sort of, you know, damages or anything that a victim of insider trading can receive? Are these more like the securities class actions lawsuits where everyone just kind of gets a small amount and it's more about making a slap on the wrist to the participant?
Well, it's more about deterrence, deterring people from committing what could be a crime or a civil violation. That's really where the action is, with the SEC and the Justice Department sending a message primarily to insiders and people that, you know, receive information from those folks. It's the law is changing, you know, as new cases come up, but the principle is still the same. You can't trade on non-public information.
I think some of, like I said, I think the media and popular culture has made insider trading something that people are like, oh, I know about it because I've seen it on TV. But how do these criminal proceedings take place? Is it more like FINRA arbitration, or is it more like the full throttles of a criminal case? Because I think our listeners are picturing more of law and order than they are possibly FINRA arbitration.
It's primarily, you know, the Department of Justice, the criminal division, and the SEC going after a particular individual or group of people. We, you know, we do see this a lot. And, you know, if you remember the show Billions, with Bobby Axelrod, he's always trying to get ahead. He's trying to trade on inside information. A lot of people see that, and that was a big part of the theme of that show. So it's something that the public's very interested in. As I said, it doesn't have a direct effect on you, but it has the effect of undermining the integrity of the markets.
Now, on the flip side, there may be individuals who are completely unaware that their investments were part of insider trading, you know, whether somebody was their manager telling them it was okay to do this or something like that. What happens to these individuals and their funds if they can show that they didn't know it was insider trading?
Well, that's a defense if you can. But, you know, it's pretty hard to say that if you know the information's coming from a corporate executive. So a defense to insider trading is, you know, I didn't know the source of the information. I wasn't aware that it was non-public. You know, I was just doing my homework, or I just overheard something. So anyway, those are examples of, you know, cases where the government wouldn't succeed. But the average individual, is not really involved in this type of thing or has a direct, you know, negative impact from it.
Would a person be able to keep their funds, and or is the only repercussion is that they get to escape jail time?
No, there's disgorgement penalties. They have to give back everything they made and also, you know, pay penalties. So yeah, there's a severe price to pay for this.
Yeah, we've seen that there are tax protections in place for people who unintentionally benefited from Ponzi schemes. There's nothing like that for inside trading.
No, there really isn't. We're talking about people that are acting in violation of the law. So those folks will be held to account. There's no tax benefits, for people who may have benefited from this, or it's just, you know, a penalty that's imposed by the regulators if you're caught doing this.
We've talked about in other examples of security fraud how some industries may be tied into other particular security fraud claims, like startups may have their risks of investing in them and thinking like that. With insider trading, can it happen anywhere, or is it more likely to occur with major corporations?
No, we see it on thinly traded stocks, you know, where there aren't that many shares traded. We see it, on large cap stocks. You just mentioned the bank stocks. So it's really across the board. And it's something that, you know, the SEC is very vigilant in looking out for. When a stock moves quickly or some announcement, particularly when it's a surprise announcement, you can rest assured that the SEC is looking at insiders to see what they're doing. They look at the insider sales. They require them to be reported.
All right, Jake, thank you for providing us with some better understanding of insider trading. I think we'll pay more attention to what you have to say than what we see on TV. So thank you once again for all of your insights.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Investment Lawyer Speaks, a podcast by the Zemanski Law Firm. Please subscribe, rate, and share.